Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout the month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, and it alternates in weeks English and then Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this show on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Wednesdays feature none other than Selena Fox with Nature Spirituality. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursdays for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and I hope you try them all. Spiral of Change. That is the theme for this year's PSG. The 41st Annual Pagan Spirit Gathering, or PSG, will be held virtually this year from June 25th through the 27th via a private Facebook group. We will have a full and fulfilling round-the-clock schedule featuring the finest presenters sharing their knowledge and musicians offering concerts. And we're going to have several of those folks on Circle Talk in the next couple of months. For more information or to register, please go to circlesanctuary.org and click on the event tab. And then you'll see a tab for Pagan Spirit Gathering. Click on it and get more information. Tonight, we're going to be learning about pagan ministry on college campuses with none other than our newly ordained minister, Reverend Juliana Russell, or Jules as she also called. Born and raised in upstate New York, Jules relocated to Northeast Indiana about 25 years ago, where she resides with her two kiddos and five fur babies. In 2009, she emerged from the broom closet and soon thereafter helped find the largest pagan group in Northeast Indiana, which currently has over 450 members. In 2013, she joined the Circle Sanctuary community and was ordained as a minister in October 31st, 2020, which was the first online ordination ceremony, and I was very honored to be a part of it. Currently, she's finishing up her master's in professional communications, turning her home into an urban homestead, and working to plan her fifth Fort Wayne Pagan Pride Day, where she's a local coordinator. Jules is so wonderful, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. Welcome, Jules. Jules, are you there?
Hey, thanks. I am now. Thanks for having me on.
Well, and first, I want to say congratulations for you taking the time to even come talk to myself and our listeners, because she just shared with me something fun and exciting is happening to you on May 9th. What's going to happen for you on May 9th?
I get to graduate with my master's degree in professional communications, and I'm so excited to be done.
I am so proud of you and excited. And you also shared this just won't be a virtual online event.
No, we get to actually walk. The walking ceremony is going to be in June, even though our semester's over on the 9th. But they're planning it out a little bit to make sure we have more vaccinations in our county, which our county's doing really good at. And they're making sure everybody's going to be safe with COVID and everything. So, yep, I am planning on being there with bells on.
Oh, well, congratulations from all of us here at Circle Talk, and we're kind of excited to see what you do next, girl.
Oh, Goddess only knows.
So has this been a journey for you? Did you grow up pagan? Have you just always been pagan? How did it start for you?
Well, I grew up in a Roman Catholic family. But I spent most of my time, I went to a Catholic school, and there was this little grotto outside the school. And when everybody else was off playing in recess, I was out playing in the grotto with this huge statue of Mary. So that's when my goddess worship really started.
Absolutely.
And then I just kind of kept it in the closet until I was till about 2009. I got divorced and came out as pagan and just kind of started living a true life and having fun with it.
There you go. And I know that you had talked about, tell us about, I know you said that you have a pagan group in Northeast Indiana, over 450 mm-hmm. members. Tell us about that in case we have some listeners that live in Indiana.
Well, the name of the group is called Three Rivers Pagans. We're online on Facebook. And before COVID, we would meet once a week and typically in someone's house, mostly mine. We would also go out to dinner and do things like that and have classes. And we just kind of try and support the pagans in the area, especially the solitaries. Because mm-hmm. we're not denominational. We're kind of like Circle. There's all kinds of people in our group that float around between all the different flavors of paganism. And we all get along really great, and we have a lot of fun. We do camp out. We have a camp at PSG that got renamed in 2019 to Camp Quackers because my friends love me so much. They keep depositing rubber ducks in my house. I now have over 300 rubber ducks. Somewhere in my house,
funny.
Like they're everywhere. So our camp is renamed. We do a lot of things together, and like if a member needs help with something, we all try and chip in. Like when I moved, they moved me in about 6 hours. So it's a lot of fun. We started it. My partner and I went to Paganicon in Minneapolis, the very first Paganicon, and. Mm-hmm. We had so much fun there and saw all these wonderful people and were introduced to Circle Sanctuary there. And we came home and looked around and we were like, there's nothing here. It was like a pagan desert. We knew that there were pagans mm-hmm. here, but nobody talked to each other. So we just started on Facebook with a little group and it just has constantly and consistently grown from there.
So, and I'm going to ask because I have a lot of people reach out to me. They may live in a rural area that doesn't have a lot, and so they're looking mm-hmm. online. Can you only be an online member for this group?
You can be just an online member. We have a lot of people that are just online members.
Okay.
Typically, they'll come out for, like, Pagan Pride Day or something like that.
Right.
But oftentimes, we see them in the chat, in Facebook. We talk that way. I think at any given coffee, we have maybe 20 people.
Right.
When we have our coffees on Tuesday nights in the before times, I'm hoping to start that up again once people get vaccinated. But we're kind of like a very large social support group for pagans in the area.
Yeah, that is really, it's funny you say that. I went to my first meetup group last night. They haven't met in like a year and a half. And it was really fun, but they put out the disclaimer, please come if you've been vaccinated and show us your card. And so it was like people walked in and they're like, I've been vaccinated, and everybody kind of still social distance. But it was so nice seeing people that I haven't seen for a year.
That's we're at that point now where it's like we have been away from each other for so long that a lot of us are pretty tightly to get wound together with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made the decision just last week that I was going to start hosting coffees in my house again. But if you want it in, you have to show me your vaccination card because it's my, it's my dwelling. Yeah. If it's out in public, it's one thing, but we often do things at in homes. Fort Wayne does not have a whole lot of coffee shops that are open past like 7 o'clock. So
mm-hmm.
we used to have one that was open until midnight and we loved that place, but they unfortunately closed. So we started going to a house format. So once it gets warm enough and stops this incessant snowing that it's doing today, we can start doing like coffee in the backyard and stuff like that so more people can come.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So our main topic tonight is pagan ministry on college campuses. And I know that mm-hmm. that's your expertise. That even gets started for you. What made you choose that, or tell me how that started?
Well, I right after I got divorced, I decided to go back to school again. I had been going on and off through my pregnancies and when mm-hmm. time allowed, but I had not really buckled down and gone for my degree, so I decided to do that. And even before I went back, I found that there was a pagan group on campus that I never knew about. Like, I'd been going on and off for like 12 years and had never known that this pagan group existed on campus. So I joined up with them and started working with them and doing rituals with them and teaching classes. And then I started reaching out to some of the other faith groups on campus because it's pagans in a very Christian – I'm in a city that's nicknamed the City of Churches. So So there's a lot of people that, you know, don't claim to be pagan, but they are, or I noticed a lot of the groups on campus wouldn't even talk to us for different events that were being held on campus. Mm-hmm. So it was an uphill battle, but we worked it out that we worked with a couple of the different groups on campus and started doing some of the larger campus events, and it was a lot of fun. And through that, you know, I've met a lot of really cool people, not just students, but also faculty and some of the other religious groups have ministers attached to them and things like that. And it was really a fun experience and interesting to talk in front of people that had always been told that paganism was, you know, bad or all the negative things we see on TV. Yeah. And, or people that had never even heard of paganism before. So it was kind of fun to have that outreach with some of these other groups and talk to them. And we had an atheist group on campus that loved to work with us because, you know, we're pagans. We're open to pretty much everything. Just don't yell at us or, you know, don't do negative things and we're fine. So we did a lot of things with them. We would go out to dinner with them and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
So when you joined, because I'm really, again, I live in a town that has a college, and that's not something that I even thought about exploring. How did you even know about it? Were there like flyers that say, hey, you know, if you're interested in this, or how did you even find it on campus?
I ended up, a friend of mine had known about it, and another friend of mine had actually worked on starting it, and he's one of the elders in our local Three Rivers Pagans. And so I had all these other people going, you know, there's a group on campus, right? And I'm like, wait, what? There's a group on our tiny little campus? And they're like, yeah. So I searched them out and went to a couple meetings and just kind of clicked with them. And even before I was on campus as a student. So over the years as a student, I finished up my bachelor's degree on campus and did all of my master's work on campus. So I've interacted with the group. I've led the group. I've been president, vice president. This year, I finally get to pass the torch because I'm graduating, so I won't be coming back next year. Mm-hmm. But for other people to find us, it's kind of been a hard road because there are people on campus that will do things like take down our posters because they don't believe in paganism. You know, silly little passive-aggressive things like that that we all experience as pagans at one time or another. So we end up getting out the word by going to large events that the campus holds. Like it used to be called Freshman Fling, and now I think it's called Fall Fling, where like the first week or two of campus for classes, we go to the big quad and we all set up tables and stuff like that and talk to people. And I think the best thing about doing campus ministry like that is having these kids walk up. And I say kids, they're like 18, 19 years old. I'm almost 50, so they're kids.
Young adults.
They're adults, but they're the age of my children, so kids. And they'll come up to us and be like, there's a group on campus. We've always kind of been interested, but we didn't know where to go for information. And we'd be like, oh, come and learn. You don't have to be pagan to come and learn at our group. You just have to have an open mind. And you don't have to believe in what we teach. You just have to listen and ask questions if you have them. And watching these young adults have their worlds opened up like that sometimes when they've kind of been closet pagans for a long time, but they couldn't let anybody know. And here we are open and out and, you know, wearing our pagan symbols on campus and not being, discriminated against or something like that or looked down upon. Seeing them grow through that is absolutely amazing. And that's one of the reasons that I absolutely love doing campus ministry work.
When you first, again, you first found this group, was it a large group? Was it mostly seekers? Were there experienced people? What was the group like when you first started?
It's always been a mix of people. There's mm-hmm. some people that aren't necessarily students on campus. They have been in the past, but now they're out doing other things. But they come back for meetings, and they're kind of this elder council, but we don't call them an elder council because then the mm-hmm. school would freak out. So they're mm-hmm. just these people that have been around for a while and know what's going on and have a lot of knowledge. And then you'll have the people coming in that have no idea what they even believe in. And, you know, maybe they go off to the Christian groups. Maybe they stay with us for a while. So it's really a range. It's kind of like Circle. You have a range of people that have been doing this for most of their lives, if not all of their lives, and then people that just learned the word pagan yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful mix, and we get a lot of really good classes because we have these people that have been around, and they've taken classes, they've taught classes, and it's like handing down this information to another generation. It's really kind of cool to watch.
That is cool. That's what I was going to ask you. So if I go and I'm new and I'm kind of interested, but I don't know a lot, take me through how I learn. Do you hold classes? Do you have ritual? What all kind of activities could I participate in at the group you ran at your school?
We do just about everything. We have classes, and they can range from divination styles to different styles of paganism, different paths. We have guest speakers come in and talk. We had we have a very large Buddhist community here, so we had mm-hmm. the Buddhist monks come in and talk to us one night and lead a meditation, which was awesome. We don't look down on people for not having the information. You know, they're mm-hmm. everybody starts somewhere, so we try.
Actually, we're all seekers about something.
Exactly. So typically our fall semester is like pagan 101 topics, mm-hmm. different paths. We'll have a panel with people from each different path that we have represented. We'll have, you know, this is tarot, this is, you know, whatever divinations we have. We had somebody that was really good at dowsing. And then the second semester, the spring semester, is usually a little bit more robust, a little more deeper with the topics. And throughout the whole school year, we're doing rituals at the Sabbath, every Sabbath, and sometimes aspects if it falls on the day that we have our meetings. So mm-hmm. and each of those rituals is different because whoever leads it, whatever their path is, that's what the ritual is. So new members especially get this really robust idea of what paganism is because of all these different topics that we cover. And every semester and every year is different based on, you know, who we have as teachers and what their mm-hmm. experience is and what they typically study themselves. So it's just really, really cool because you can learn just about anything from us. And if you have a topic that you want to learn and we don't have a teacher for it, we'll go out and find a teacher for it if we can and bring them in to teach.
That is really cool. Again, when I was in college, I wasn't a pagan group, but I was in some other groups, and we had to have a faculty representative. Did you have to have a faculty representative for this group?
We do. And actually, there's a couple on campus that are always willing to help out. One of them was a member of our group at one point, and she went on to get her master's
fun.
And now teaches. So,
that's really fun.
Yeah, so she's known the group for a long time, so she's a great resource for us. And it just so happens that the person that runs the office over student orgs is a good friend of mine, so we also have resources there that we can talk to and things like that if we need help or something like that. But we've had the same campus representative for 5 years now, I think.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and she's awesome. Anything we need, anything we have questions on, she's always there for us. She can't always get to meetings because she works on campus and has other things in her life as well, but mm-hmm. she's always checking in with us and making sure we're okay. So, yeah.
So did you have any pushback from other faculty or teachers about this group?
in the years that I've been in it, the only pushback we've had really is one group on campus that I won't name would go around and purposely take down our flyers and try and steal the rooms that we had. Yeah, we knew who it was. We had people in the building that they were taking them down going, do you know so-and-so is taking down your posters and putting them in the recycling bin?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, there's not a whole lot we can do about it, but, you know, there's always that one person that, and you'd have posters defaced, you know, one or two a semester, and, you know, you kind of get through it. We were pretty much the only ones that had that happen. When the Muslim group came on campus, they had some pushback. And, of course, you know, we're like, really, you're going to do that to them? Nope, you got to go through us first.
Yeah,
so there was,
good for you.
There's a lot of camaraderie with the groups on campus, which is nice.
Do they list you? I mean, again, it's been about a million years just since I was in college. Do they have, like, a student directory of faith-based clubs? And do they list you in that? Or okay,
absolutely.
So you're formally recognized by the university.
Yes. We have gone through the process of doing our constitution and our bylaws and all of that. We can get funding if we need it. It's posted. If you look on the website for the university, you can look at all the student organizations, and under the religion section, ours is there. So we've
that
had people
very nice.
Email us out of the blue. Hey, I see you're on campus. When do you guys meet? Where can I find you? Type things. So, yeah, it's we get a few people that way, and it's really nice.
Have you had any bad experiences with students or anyone?
Not really. I mean, over the years,
that's
you have...
really good.
Yeah, you have a couple people here and there. We would have a meeting. There used to be a space that was like an open space in the student lounge building, and we would meet there, and right across the hall was another religious group who would come out and sometimes taunt us, and, you know, we dealt with it, you know, go through the proper channels at the university and deal with it and be like, you know, we're not going to stand for this, but it only happened like a couple of times, and we took care of it, and it was over, and then I started going to their meetings and asking questions and being polite and, you know, doing all the things that we do to try and mend fences and things.
Interfaith work,
and we finally got through it. They still weren't happy we were on campus, but they left us alone, which is fine.
How large is an average of your of the group on campus, the pagan group on campus?
Probably in the most year we had 40 people come in every week. It dwindled.
That's pretty
large.
That's pretty good for groups.
Yeah. Yeah. Every once in a while it would dwindle down and we'd have, you know, a handful here and there. Sometimes as few as five to seven. Mostly it depended on what was happening in town and in people's lives as to whether they came or not, which that's like any group. But we always had a pretty robust group of people coming, which was nice.
Right. And since your Three Rivers pagan group is so strong, I dare say that you probably have a healthy community of people who are earth-based.
Oh, yeah. and we're not, I know we're not the only game in town, but when students start transitioning out of the university and they're like, you know, I'm sticking around town now, what do? That's when we're like, oh, well, there's this other group that we don't call it the adult group. You can join at any time. As long as, you know, if you're under 18, you have to have parental permission type thing. But, you know, there's this other group if you want to, you know, stay in contact with people and still, you know, do pagan things and learn pagan things. And we've probably gotten a dozen or more members that way coming through the university. But we like them to have that university experience first.
That's really great. So if I am, how can folks be supportive of ministry on a college campus? Is there anything, I'm sitting here thinking people could volunteer. Like in my community, I live near a college. I don't even know. Would that be appropriate to reach out to them and offer to be a speaker? Or how can people support this group?
Absolutely. Reach out to be a speaker. We don't have anything like scholarships or anything like that going on right now. I don't even know how to get that started with the university. But we're always looking for teachers, especially ones that are off the traditional, you know, 101 pagan or 101 Wicca paths. And resources and knowledge, and even if it's a craft night, like we'll get together and make something sometimes.
That's a good
one
idea.
Time I brought in, you know, everybody had to bring their own vessel, but I brought in a ton of herbs, and we learned about herbs and how to mix them and how to make spell bottles and things like that. So anybody that has that type of knowledge, we've tapped somebody in our community that does a lot with herbs on the, not necessarily the crafting end, but you know, correspondences, herbal correspondences. So they came and talked about that. We had somebody, contact us and be like, hey, I know a lot about stones. Can I come in and teach about stones and crystals and things? And we're like, yeah, come on in. So occasionally we get those contacts. If you have a group in your area that practices paganism in whatever flavor, reach out to them. See if, usually if you go into the university's website, you can look for student organizations, and in that list, you'll find the pagan group, and typically there's an email address there for them. That's a great way to get in contact with them and see if there's anything you can do to help. You know, maybe they need help manning a booth at the local Pagan Pride Day, because a lot of times Pagan Pride Days fall before the semester starts.
Or a donation of something for a raffle. Absolutely.
Exactly. You know, no help is usually turned away because, you know, we're all college students. Even though I'm an older college student, I still run on a very tight budget. Sometimes, you know, we can't do a whole lot when we want to go somewhere. Like we want to go to a festival or something. Sometimes we need a little support with that too. But, you know, it's a really good way for people who are interested in paganism that haven't stepped on their path yet, or maybe they're just stepping on their path, to really get their foot in the door and find out a lot of information easily with people that aren't going to, and I'm not saying people in the community are like this. I have met people like this, but it's rare that are like gatekeepers of information. Usually college campus groups are not going to gatekeep on you. They're just going to be like, hey, we have all this information. Let us download it into your brain for you.
Absolutely. And it's funny because this actually happened in my community. I would think that you would have a need for somebody actually passed away, and they had a bunch of Pagan 101 books and a bunch of beginning books, and people didn't know what to do with them. And that would probably be a really good resource for you to give out to people. I would imagine your folks would like books.
Yes, we hold a library. We don't have, like, a space for it, so it's in a locker on campus. And if you want a book, we have to find the list and stuff like that. But we're always looking for resources that we can give to other students, because maybe – you know, maybe they're coming from a household that they weren't allowed to profess their faith in.
Right.
So they're coming into this with nothing, you know, and maybe they need simple things like a candle holder or a 101 book, or maybe they want to learn about tarot and they have no idea where to go, you know, things like that. I've given out decks. I've given out altar paraphernalia, books, just about everything you can think of when it comes to paganism. I always carry rocks in my pockets for those meetings because somebody needs a rock somewhere.
Do the students, do they feel pretty supported at the campus, or is it something that they are, you know, are they open out in the open? Are they out of the broom closet? Are they kind of shy about belonging to this? What's the general feeling about it?
It's a spectrum. We have some people that are like, I have been a pagan since the day I was born, and you're not going to, you know, I'm not going to put myself under a bushel. And then you have people that are like, I have no idea what to do, and I'm just scared to even be here. Lest I be judged about being here.
Or somebody sees me walk in the room.
And, you know, we don't put up like posters outside the door that we're the pagan group, come on in, or anything like that. But we do put posters around campus that just basically lists the important stuff that is required, our the name of our group, what we're doing that mm-hmm. night, and the room we're meeting in, and the time. And we get a lot of people that walk in and stay for a couple meetings and then wander off, or, you know, the topic isn't for them that night, so they don't come that night. But for the mm-hmm. most part, we do rituals outside on campus. We have
really? Tell
covered,
me about that. That's really great.
We have little covered gazebos around campus, and there's a couple that we like to use. And we'll take out our ritual paraphernalia, whatever it is. I did a Samhain ritual 1 year on campus, and I decorated that entire little pavilion with just all kinds of ancestor things. And people walked by and were like, "What are you doing?" And we were like, "Hey, come on in. You can sit and watch. It's fine. You know, ask questions afterwards. We just, you know, please don't interrupt us when we're doing it, but you're more than welcome to come and sit and watch." And we'll get quite a few people like that. We've held drum circles on campus and announced it to the wider community and had people show up with drums that we've never seen before. And we had a lot of fun with them. Mm-hmm. So we'll do things out in the open. And there are some people that are like, "I'm not comfortable being out in the open, so I'm not going to come tonight." Mm-hmm. We're like, "That's okay. You know, just mm-hmm. if you have questions or, you know, whatever, let us know." But there are several of us that are just, you know, we're out of the broom closet and we're not going back in, and we mm-hmm. will do things on campus. We will wear our symbols and stuff. We'll sit out at tables and give out information. It's a spectrum.
Yeah, that's nice. It sounds like you're very supportive, though, of people who are not comfortable being out of the broom closet for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah, we've all been there one time or another. Uncomfortable around mm-hmm. certain people. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our friends that we think they're going to look down on us or whatever, or mm-hmm. call us weird. I wear weird as a badge. But, you know, being in the campus setting, these are people that are just leaving their homes for the first time. They're just leaving their families mm-hmm. and coming to campus to live, or maybe on an off-campus apartment or whatever. And mm-hmm. they're spreading their wings. And they come in and they're very shy and very unsure of what's going on. And they want to be involved, but they don't know how, or they don't know if they mm-hmm. can put themselves out there for that. And it's very much mm-hmm. just come in and sit and listen. We're not going to ask you questions. We're not going to make you recite some weird oath or anything. We're just here to be a community mm-hmm. and support each other, but also to learn. And that really kind of sets them at ease. And, some of the shyest people in the beginning end up being some of our, I don't want to say biggest supporters in the end, but, you know, they're the ones that are always there. They're always willing to lend mm-hmm. a hand. I've seen people come in and be like, I can't wear a pentacle. And then by the time mm-hmm. they graduate and leave campus, they're, you know, they've got a big pagan tattoo or something, you know, wear a pentacle mm-hmm. every day, or pentacle earrings or something. And just really come out of their shells that way. And it's fun to watch. It really is.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You have a lot of leadership skills that emerge from this for your people.
That is the one thing that I absolutely love and I'm giddy about, is mm-hmm. Seeing the people come in and they've never held a leadership position. They've never ran a meeting or anything. And seeing mm-hmm. them step out of their comfort zone to do those things. And I squee when that happens, because it's like, oh, another one. Yes, let's bring you into the fold and let's do some leadership stuff and let's watch you bloom.
So absolutely, because those are skills
yeah.
that aren't spiritual. You take those into the workforce and you mm-hmm. take those, you keep those, once you have those skills, you get them forever.
Exactly. And to watch people stepping into their own leadership skills and things, and they've, you know, always been shy or whatever, and by the time they leave campus, they're confident and they know that they can tackle anything that's thrown at them. And it's just like, yes, I'm so blessed to watch this happen. Not necessarily to make it happen. I'm not into making it happen. I will support people in making it happen. They have to do the work, and to watch them do the work and then bloom is just, oh, I love that feeling.
That is fun. I know geographically different areas sometimes have a concentrated, like some areas might have a large Alexandrian group, some might have a more Norse group, more eclectic? Does your area where you live geographically have a concentration of certain type of paths, or do you typically find Wiccan or Druid, or what type of mix would you say your group has?
We have a lot of Wiccans. We have a lot of witches. I myself claim to be an eclectic witch. So we have a lot of eclectic witches. A few Norse pagans, they have a group of their own, so they kind of filter in and out sometimes. We've had spiritualists, which they're absolutely amazing.
I'm very
to talk
interested
with.
In that. That's not something I'm very familiar with, but what little I've met someone, that's really interesting.
Yes, we have Camp Chesterfield south of here, like by maybe an hour and a half, maybe an hour. And it's a big spiritualist retreat center. So we have quite a few spiritualists in the area. We have a spiritualist church in the area that's been around, egads, at least since the 70s. It might have been longer than that. So we have spiritualists that come in and out. And every year is a little bit different. I would say we have a good mix. We don't have, we're not heavy in one thing or one path. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of good mixes. And to the new students coming in that are trying to figure out their path, we try and let them experience as much on every path as we can, or at least point them toward directions for resources for different paths.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can find their own path. That's not my job to find their path for them. But as a leader, I strive to try and present as many paths as I can so that they can figure out which way they want to go. Or maybe they're like me and they just want to take a little bit from everywhere because they're very eclectic. Yeah. So we have a good mix, and I really wouldn't say we're strong in any one particular path.
That's really good. Do you find most of your people, like I have found, and I'm older than dirt, so I remember when in my local group, which is not college-based, it's adults, but we would have, everybody was in a coven. We had lots of different covens, and now I don't see that as much anymore. I see most people are solitary. What do you see in colleges?
In colleges, we're mostly solitaries.
That's what I find.
We try and, even in our wider community outside the university. Are there covens in the area? Yes, I know that there are. I don't know who all is in them. That's not my business, but I do know that they exist. But both my Three Rivers Pagans group and the campus group strive not to be a coven. We're more an open social circle that just likes to learn with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically the direction we take.
Yeah. It's funny because I have been in the coven. And the sense of community is what the big draw is. But I think things have evolved. And now because you have, like, organization like Three Rivers Pagan, you know what I mean? It kind of takes the place of that community. So, yeah, I think things have just evolved over time.
Yeah. And that's one thing when we set up Three Rivers Pagans specifically, it was, we're not going to be a coven. We're not going to be bound by any particular path. We're going to be kind of a clearinghouse for information for people and a place where people can come and just be themselves, because we can't always be ourselves everywhere. So it's kind of a place to, you know, set your broom down and let your hair down and, you know, just hang out and be you.
Have you had any experiences with parents that found out that their child was in this group and upset?
No, luckily.
That's great.
The campus group, with the campus group, the students that are coming are adults. Legally, they're adults.
They're 18 and above,
So if parents get mad, they don't come back to us because it's not our job to police how old their kids are and if they're allowed by mommy and daddy to come to our group. Three Rivers Pagans is a little bit different. We have a form for parents to sign, and we have to talk to the parents if it's a child under 18 to come into the group, because we want the parents to know exactly what's going on so that their mind is put at ease And, you know, those parents are always welcome to come to whatever event we're hosting so that they can see for themselves what's going on.
That's
and even
great.
In Three Rivers Pagans, we haven't had any problems because we make that the rule. Like when you join the group
right.
on Facebook, we always look for, you know, how long you've been on Facebook, what's your approximate age, things like that. And we have turned, I think, 2 or 3 children away just because they would let us talk to their parents and they were coming in secretively and we can't be legally responsible
for that.
That
just opens the door for issues. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good for you. So,
yeah.
So that's a good idea. So if I'm looking to support, then I would just look for the directory online and then you can just call and write an email and say, hey, you know, I'd love to teach a class or I think I may do that. I think that's a really, really good way. I was on an interfaith panel, very recently and the question came up, you know, how does someone do activism and how does someone do volunteer, in their own faith path? And this is not something I ever thought of, and that would be a really great way to support other people who are earth-based or looking at that path to see if it's for them.
Absolutely. And then remember when you go on campus, sometimes you have paperwork to fill out. I know our campus makes us fill out paperwork.
Probably a background
when somebody,
check, things like that.
Yeah. It's like a basic background check sometimes, and it's a little bit more involved if we're paying a speaker, less involved
mm-hmm.
if it's just somebody volunteering time. But often there are a couple of hoops to jump through, but it's definitely worthwhile to jump through those hoops and get connected with a local group.
Do you have any experience with other college campuses across the country? I did, before we talked, I did a quick Google search, and I would imagine most campuses nowadays have pagan groups, and I did not realize that.
There are a lot of them out there. I have been in contact with a couple different groups near where I live because we were trying to get together and share
right.
information
okay.
and, you know, share resources, things like that. And with COVID and everything happening, a lot of that fell by the wayside because
yeah.
we're just not meeting in person. We haven't met
mm-hmm.
on campus in person for over a year now, and it's been
right.
strained.
Like everybody
it's
else.
Tough.
Yeah,
it's been tough to maintain relationships that way, but there are a lot of groups out there, and they go by all different kinds of names, too, and it doesn't have to be just a general, like ours is Spiritual Pagan Student Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to have the pagan name in there. It can be any faith. It could be a Wicca group. It could be a Norse group. So if you're interested in connecting with a certain college campus, the best thing to do is go look at their student orgs because that's where you're going to find out who's on campus and who might be, you know, welcoming to get in contact with your group type thing. Being an offshoot of Purdue West Lafayette, we've talked with the West Lafayette campus quite a few times in the past mm-hmm. about their group and gotten in contact with them. And also check for classes that come up that are taught on campus that are pagan related, because most religion departments will teach pagan classes,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting.
Oh, you mean in a curriculum?
Yes. On my campus, there's a class that's offered, I think it's every other year, last I looked, that's the history of witchcraft. And
it's fascinating. Teach it? I mean, who teaches it?
it's one of the religious scholars on campus teaches it. And it's considered an honors program class. So you have to be in the honors program to take it.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, they go through witchcraft and they go through the history and the burning times and modern witchcraft. And it's really, when I found that out, I was like, what is happening on our campus? That is awesome. And I offered my services as a practicing witch, and
uh-huh.
they haven't taught the class since then, which is unfortunate. But, there are a lot of campuses that teach either, you know, something basic paganism, basic witchcraft, basic Norse, and it's typically in a historical setting or in a religious setting.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
those classes are
sense.
Out there. Yeah, yeah, and those classes are out there, and it's cool that those are being showing up on campuses now.
Yeah, well, I mean, doing reading as a whole, organized religion is decreasing in numbers, but earth-based paths are not. We're one of the faiths that are increasing. So
yes.
it would make sense to me that they were interested, you know, they would be interested in that.
Yeah, it's
so, and I...
Go ahead. It just blows my mind that these classes are popping up, and there's a, I think it's Queen's University in Canada
mm-hmm.
that has a whole curriculum based around it. It's kind of cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and they have something
that,
called
I mean,
the Witches Institute. So if anybody's
uh-huh.
looking for academia-based information, the Witches Institute holds a conference. And I believe it's going to be online this year.
Oh, and tell me about what is the conference about?
They do everything. I was looking at what they were calling for in papers this year, and I wish that I had had a paper that I could have given them to present, because that would have been amazing. I'm going to try for next year. They had several different sections. They were very intersectional about how they were doing it. There was women's spirituality. There was witchcraft. There was socioeconomics of paganism. I'm trying to think what some of the other ones were. Genderqueer paganism. Just mm-hmm. It was a huge list of different topics that they wanted to cover. I haven't seen if they've put out a schedule yet. It's still pretty early. I want to say it's in August. Is when the
mm-hmm.
event is actually happening. But it looks like it's very robust around specifically witchcraft.
And is this put on by a college or who sponsors
it's
this?
It's put
conference?
On by the university. Yeah, the university
that
puts
is...
this on. And they have a subset in the university. I don't know if it's a department or how it's labeled, but they have this institute. Like, that runs all the time, and they just have this conference. I think it's once a year.
That is really – I had never heard of that. That is really cool.
It's wild that these things are popping up on college campuses. And then there's the current – let me think how this is worded. Current Pagan Academic Studies Conference, I think is what it's called,
uh-huh.
out in Claremont, California. That's been going on for a number of years. That's in January. I think the third or fourth weekend in January every year. And I got to attend that one this year because it was online. Thank you, COVID. And they have some people
tell us about
like,
it.
From around the world that come to that to teach. It's really cool.
That is really cool.
So
and,
thanks
and
for
and
having
what
me
type
on
of
campuses.
Subjects was on it?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember back because that was January and it seems like a whole year ago. There was one gentleman that presented his pagan travels, like when he travels, his entire trip is planned around pagan sites.
Oh.
Couple people talked about their academia work papers in current pagan research, things that are going on
mm-hmm.
right now in the pagan world. Again, they covered a lot of different topics in a weekend conference that was online, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun going to that one this year. Someday I'll
That's
get
fun.
To go to California and be physically be there, but it was nice to be able to do it online this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have also went to a couple of festivals that I normally wouldn't have been able to afford to go to or take the time to travel to. Was able
uh-huh.
to because they were online, and obviously everybody's ready to get back together to have conferences and festivals, but I have a feeling that this Zoom and online presence is kind of here to stay, that we're always going to have a combination, because I think it's been real successful for people who can't always travel places.
Yes, and it's not just, you know, maybe they can't travel because of work or money, or maybe they physically can't.
Right.
I know some people physically can't handle going to large outdoor festivals. They just can't handle for whatever reason. So, yeah, I'm hoping that there's a more active online presence for festivals from now on. I'm sure we'll figure out a way to make it happen. I'm hoping that we continue that trend.
People who are my age out. You know, the younger generation, you know, were born with iPhones in their hands. So, that just makes much more sense that you will see. But I have to say, even myself, who don't consider myself to have a big online presence, I have really enjoyed, and I tell people that if I can figure out Zoom, anybody can. But I have really enjoyed being at conferences that I normally wouldn't have gotten to go to. And for the most part, I'm very mixed about Zoom rituals, because I've seen a really good one and I've seen several really bad ones. But online classes have been fabulous. I mean, you know, I felt like I was there. I mean, they have been really, really good.
I've particularly enjoyed, like, the full moons at Circle, because they
– yes.
Full moon happens all throughout the week. I am not able to get up there for those. And being able to enjoy it through technology has been wonderful. I know locally we've had a lot of things canceled. Last year we had our PPD online, and it was super successful. We didn't raise as much money because we weren't in person doing our raffles and stuff, but we had top-notch classes, top-notch entertainment, and we went on for 2 days instead of one because we didn't have to pay for a space. So I think,
and
at least I hope, that we keep that tradition going of having online stuff too.
Yeah, and that's funny you say that, because the one ritual online I've seen that was excellent was Salinas. So, I think it's a funny, because I attended one, and I wasn't sure because it was a north, and that's not my path, but it didn't seem like it was going well. And after the festival, they had a debrief session. And the people who led it said this went really badly. And they said they learned immediately. They just tried to do what they would have done in person online. And they realized that wouldn't work. It's two different types of things. And so it was really interesting to watch them go through that process. Yeah, that's what they said. So something as simple as going to different quarters, and the camera doesn't follow them, and so you don't see them. They walk out. You know, it was just interesting to hear them say they practiced it as a ritual like they always did, and they didn't think about that an iPad would only have a certain amount of use. So it was just really interesting to see people learn through the process.
I think we're going to see specifically rituals change a lot when we start doing them or continue to do them online, because there was a learning curve. Let's face it, none of us had really done that before. And it takes a little bit to adjust to what's going to work. Just like, you know, going from a small ritual to a huge ritual. There's some things you can do in a small ritual that you can't do in a large ritual, because it'll take hours. So
absolutely.
There's definitely
a
learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, again, I want to tell you congratulations on your upcoming graduation. That is so exciting. You'll have to – she already has another topic, listeners. I've already tagged her to come back in about 6 or 7 months anyway. So we'll have to hear an update on your life. But I'm really proud of you. And you were ordained. You're graduating. I mean, the door's open and the goddess is pushing you through it, my child. So I'm very, very excited for you.
I could not have planned all of this happening in quick succession like it's happening. It just, it would not have worked if I had tried to plan it this way. But I was very happy to be ordained in October and have Laura and Char with me. And Laura and I always said we were going to be ordained together, and it just so happened that it worked out that way. So we were really happy about that.
Yeah, and that, again, was its own kind of experience. Again, Selena did such a wonderful job with that. But I was part of it because I was there with you. But, I was surprised I mean, it was very moving, and I could feel the energy. It was wonderful. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I had my local tribe was actually in the room. So for anybody who has
watched that
or is going to watch that on YouTube, there were like 12 or 13 of my local tribe who had stayed away from other people so that we could all come together safely mm-hmm. that night. And they were off camera, but they were like making faces at me so I would smile, doing all the fun things that good friends do. And it was nice to have not only their support, but their energy with me as I walked through that door because they supported me through it the whole way.
Oh, yeah, that was fabulous. Again, I hope maybe that a piece of that is something that we keep in the future and maybe have, you know, where we meet and we can get together for ordinations. Usually they're either at Pagan Spirit Gathering or at Samhain Circle, but also have a virtual component. So if people can't travel, they could also be present. I think that's I agree with you. I think you're going to see a combination of this going forward for a while.
Yeah, that was super nice to do it that way because my family could watch too.
Yeah,
even
my
non-pagan
really
family
nice.
Was like, that was really cool.
Absolutely. So, well, sweetie, I just want to thank you. I can't believe it's been an hour. I knew it would go fast with you because you're so delightful. I really want to thank you. I know how busy you are, and I really want to thank you for taking the time to share your journey of pagan ministry on college campuses with us tonight. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
And good luck, and we look forward to see what the future brings for you.
All good things. We're making it all good things.
There you go. And besides Jules, I'd like to thank David, our sound engineer, for his technical expertise. And folks, remember, Virtual PSG 2021 registration is open now. Go to circlesanctuary.org and look under the event tab for Pagan Spirit Gathering. You'll find information on how to register there. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, May 4th. I look forward to being with you all again, so please come back. We're now going to transition our show with a musical selection. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
I am pagan and I'm proud. I am pagan, gonna shout it loud. I am pagan. Want the world to know that I follow the goddess cause she rocks my soul. Don't need your Bible, I got the wisdom of the crone. Don't need your heaven, into this life I'm reborn. No Ten Commandments, one fills the bill, and it harm none do what you will. she rocks your soul.
Come on.
Are you pagan?
Are you pagan?
Are you proud? Are you pagan?
I am pagan.
Shout it loud.
Shout it loud.
If you're pagan, let the whole world know that you follow the goddess because she rocks your soul.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connected to the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.